Greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank God for this second day of our camp. And we are continuing with our theme of Occupy Till I Come. If you recall, on the first day, the theme that or the messages that we looked at is what does it mean to occupy? We have seen already that the occupying there describes to tend to business, and there it describes the Lord's business. But what it means to occupy is we must be patient in doing the Lord's business. There's a patient waiting upon the Lord's timing. And the Lord will also entrust to us duties, responsibilities, gifts in order to serve Him. But remember, in all our serving, that we will be held accountable. So, in the first message, we looked at what it means to occupy. Then the second message, we considered who are those who must occupy. And it must be faithful and loyal servants. And that's where we first meditated on the master and servant relationship. And how we have a very wonderful relationship with our master, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is He who has chosen us. It is He who has saved us and purchased us to Himself. And because of this master and servant relationship, it's a privilege. We will enjoy and we will love our master. We want to serve him. And the second thing that we saw then in last night's message is that if he's such a good master, we will want to serve him. We want to defend him. And there will be honor in serving him. The Lord will honor us. It's not the honor of the world. The world may shame us and the world may reject us. But the Lord will honor us. Now, for our message this morning, we want to start to begin to meditate and to think deeper on what it means to occupy until the Lord Jesus Christ returns. So what should we do when we occupy ourselves in the Lord's work? So this morning, we are going to first look at the dangers of idleness and laziness. Okay, why must we occupy? That's the question. Why must we occupy? Because to be idle and to be lazy is very dangerous according to God's word. And then what we are going to look at this morning is how to occupy. So as we are occupying, we must be faithful in the service of the Lord. But we want to recognize the dangers of idleness and laziness. That's very interesting because when I was trying to study this idea of idleness and laziness, this idea of slothfulness, sluggardness, laziness, idleness is found in the book of Proverbs. Okay, several times, on numerous occasions, the Bible will warn against laziness and idleness. But it's not just in the Old Testament, in the book of Proverbs. And the New Testament writers, they will also oftentimes refer to the thought of idleness and they will warn against it. So you'll find that idleness and laziness is something that has plagued men throughout generations. To be lazy, to be slothful, it is something that is very common to men. And I'm sure that as young people, this may be something that one thing that you may struggle with as well. Just to feel very sluggard, to feel very tardy, you know, to be dragging your feet, to feel very tired. This is a sense that all of us are familiar with it. We don't have to be taught to be idle or to be lazy. You know, if given a choice during holidays, if your teachers were to say, you know, do you want school homework or no school homework? I'm sure all of you would choose no school homework, correct? Because then you would have free time, you have your own time. But actually, if you think about it, during school holidays, if your teachers don't give you assignments or homework or ask you to prepare for a test immediately after holidays, what would you be doing? Actually, what do you have to do? You'll probably be idle. You try to find things to do. You try to find things to kill time because you have very little responsibilities. And that's why, and that's where many would become idle, slothful, lazy. But the Bible warns us against idleness, against laziness, because it's something that is going to be very deadly. You know, this, you can say disease, okay, of idleness, The effects of it, oftentimes, you will not see it immediately. Okay, later, we are going to look at some of the results of idleness. Oftentimes, the results of it, you will not experience or realize it immediately. You only realize it after a few months or even sometimes after a few years. The result of your laziness, the result of your idleness, oftentimes you'll realize it only after a few weeks, a few months or a few years. I mean, just one very simple illustration. Hey, if let's say you have a final exam and then you are idle throughout the whole year. Hey, maybe this is like a very important year of your O-levels. Hey, you are in secondary 4 already, you're taking your O-levels, and then now you are supposed to prepare for this final exam. But you're idle throughout the whole year. Oftentimes, you will not experience or face the consequences or the effects or the impact of that idleness or of that laziness throughout the whole year. But then when you take your examination, finally, you are unable to answer the questions. Now you fail your exam. You experience the results then at that point in time. But you realize that the problem of laziness and idleness has already been impacting you, affecting you throughout the whole year. And if you stretch this out further, you realize that it's not just for 1 year that is going to affect you or impact you. Because that attitude of idleness, laziness, is going to affect you, is going to shape your life even through the years ahead. And that would be the frightening thing. And if you don't put a stop to that idleness or that laziness, this kind of attitude is going to carry on with you through the rest of your life. That's the problem. You know, I'm still in the introduction. I've not really gone into the point yet. But you know, one of the dangers, because this one thought that I have about movies and televisions. I know I'm not talking about movies and televisions now because there are other issues concerning those things. But you know, one of the problems of movies and televisions shows is that it presents a false reality of things. And what do I mean by that? Hey, when you look at TV shows, when you want to go from one place to another place, they show you that now they maybe enter the train, then the next minute they end up already in another place. Okay, when you see a person maybe wanting to talk to somebody, okay, then they just so happen to be able to meet the person at the right time. Okay, there's no waiting, right? When they set an appointment, all these things, they don't show the reality. In reality, what happens, you know, if let's say you want, so sometimes it's very funny, the shows, they can just bump into people in the streets, you know, anytime, coincidentally. No, but in reality, that doesn't happen. If you want to go and bump into a person in the street, maybe you have to wait there for like half an hour, but then you have to know how long, you know, when the person will come to office and all these kind of things in order to run into that person. It presents a false reality. It presents a false reality in many other things. Okay? In how they grow in life and things like that. It seems like they can just skip a whole part of their life and then just advance to another part of their life. And the reason why I point this out is because when we are influenced by all these shows and movies, and now we think that what these shows and movies present to us is the reality, we have that kind of expectations as well in our life, the way we live. No, we expect things to happen like that. We expect us to not put in hard work and then to enjoy, to reap the benefits. So if imagine, for example, you take like a pianist, someone who knows how to play the piano. Sometimes you don't realize that the person has to spend hours practicing, just play very boring skills and things like that, okay, in order to practice the technique. Okay, so sometimes you see those who are serving in church, playing the organ or playing the piano. You think they just go up there one day, suddenly they are able to just play everything? No, they actually have to practice the skills, right? And the skills is just like C major, go up, go down, C minor, go up, go down. They have to practice all that. And then after a while, I'm sure also, you know, when they want to play the hymns, they have to practice these hymns. And then after a while, they become familiar with it. I know there are some who are very, very good at sight reading, right? They don't have to practice. But even then, the ability to sight read is also developed through time. See, and all this requires effort, hard work. But the problem is sometimes we want the fruits of it without the hard work. And the danger is that, you know, when we just want the fruits of it without putting in the hard work, the idleness, the laziness, the effects of it, the consequences of it, sometimes can cost us later on in our lives. And that's what later we are going to see in the Bible. That's why this issue of idleness and laziness is something very serious. I mean, beyond these results, the things that we have seen, one thing we need to remember as well, as we have seen in the parable of the servants, okay, as well as we referred to the parable of the talents yesterday, was that the Lord pronounced the servant in the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25 as the slothful and wicked servant. That's one thing that we need to realize and remember. It's not just an impact on ourselves. We need to see that slothfulness and laziness displeases God. Okay, so there are three things I want us to look at this morning as we consider laziness. You know the passage we read earlier in Proverbs 6, we are going to look at it later on because this is the remedy to laziness. But there are three things I want us to look at this morning as we consider this theme of laziness and sluggardness. First of all, you see how sluggardness or laziness is manifested. Okay, so you see how it is expressed. You must first learn to identify it, so that when you identify it, you can diagnose it. Okay, so first, how is sluggardness and laziness expressed? Okay, but before we continue, is the echo in the front on? It's spoiled, is it? Oh, okay. Yeah, but it's okay, never mind. But you're feeling warm? Okay, they don't feel warm, never mind. It's okay. Okay, so first of all, how is sluggardness and laziness expressed? How is it identified? It's alright, don't worry. Okay, so we see sluggardness and laziness expressed and given, examples are given to us in the book of Proverbs. Okay, so there are a few passages that I want you all to turn to, okay, in the book of Proverbs. First of all, you look at Proverbs 13 verse 4. Okay, in Proverbs 13 verse 4. Okay, don't be lazy to turn to the book of Proverbs. Okay, Proverbs 13 verse 4. The Bible says, "The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat." Okay, the soul of the sluggard desireth. How is sluggardness manifested? One thing you will find in lazy people is that they desire a lot of things. They want a lot of things. They expect a lot of things. They hope a lot of things. And oftentimes, they promise a lot of things. And that's one very interesting characteristic of lazy people. They will promise a lot, but they seldom fulfill their promises. They seldom accomplish what they hope to accomplish. They seldom gain what they hope to gain. They seldom do what they want to do. That is one characteristic of lazy people. Okay, they promise a lot, not just to others, but even to themselves. They say a lot of things, but then they actually do very little. That's one very interesting characteristic of the sluggard. Is this not something that sometimes we also fall into? Like, are your holidays ending already? Your holidays finishing already, right? So, is this last week? Oh, okay. So, school is starting next week. Now, before the holidays started, do y'all like set out to do certain things? Have, right? Okay, maybe some have. How about, you know, I see the girls nodding. Yes, yes. Then the guys, they like set out to do what? You know? So, do y'all set out to do certain things? Okay. One or two also says yes. So, have y'all accomplished those things that you set out to do? You know, I will read this book. Is that something you know you want to do? I will learn to play the piano. I will learn to play the violin. I will complete this. I will do this. I will do this. The first week, so you plan. Well, first week, I'll do this. Second week, I'll do this. Then third week, I go for church camp. no, something like that. Okay, church, third week was church camp. Yeah, then after that VBS. Then now this week. So these are all my plan. My holiday would be activity filled, meaningful holiday. You set out to do it. You desire, and that's a good desire. Okay, you should start with this desire. But one of the characteristics of a sluggard is you find that oftentimes they do very little in what they plan. And it's not because they don't have time. Now, we understand sometimes maybe you overestimate. Okay? And then maybe you plan, like you thought that you can finish an assignment in 1 hour, but then end up you took 3 hours. Okay, that's different. That's where you thought that, you know, you're able to do it, but then, wow, you realize you now take more time than you expected at first, at the beginning. See, sometimes these things like that is understandable. These things are, you know, something you cannot prepare for. These things are like unexpected things. But now we are talking about those who are sluggard is where at the start of the holiday, the first day, you tell yourself, okay, I have all these things I'm going to do, but I'm so tired after the first semester of school. Okay, so let me just rest a while first. Okay, I'll start tomorrow. So the first day is a rest day. Okay, so you rest the first day first. Then you say, tomorrow I'll start. But then the second day comes. You still feel, actually still not sure why my body is a bit aching here. You know, okay, but I cannot be lazy anymore. I better start. But I want to start, I make sure I start properly. So I'll go and make my cup of tea. But then I find like my table is a bit messy. Let me just pack my table. Let me arrange my things first, you know. Then actually, my cupboard is also messy. Let me just pack. Okay, let me just go and KonMari my whole room. You know what's KonMari? Y'all don't know KonMari, yeah? Okay, never mind. Because KonMari may be for the older generation one. Okay, Marie Kondo, okay, that, you know, recently, actually not so recent anymore, like 2-3 months back, there was this craze and trend in Singapore and all over the world where there's this Japanese lady who say, oh, does this thing spark joy? You know, you touch this thing, spark joy. Does it spark joy? If it doesn't spark joy, then you throw away. So there was this like decluttering craze in Singapore at the time. Okay, but this trend has sort of died already. Okay, but there was a time where people, wow, you know, clear, declutter their whole house. I mean, it's not a bad thing to declutter your whole house or to clear your room. Maybe your mom or your dad has been asking you to clear your room for a long time. So it's a good thing. But when you're supposed to do your assignments, then you go and clear your room. When it's time to clear your room, you don't want to clear your room. But now it's when it's time to do your homework, then you go and clear your room. See, this is the problem. They expect a lot. They hope a lot. They promise a lot. But they accomplish very little. And then you realize now, oh no, it's the end of the holiday already. How many of those things that I wanted to do, I have not done? Now, let's not try to repackage this. The Bible says that the soul of the sluggard desireth. He has a lot of desires. He hopes a lot. He expects a lot. But he has nothing. At the end of this, the sluggard accomplishes nothing. That is one of the manifestations of sluggardness, of laziness. And if you are like this, you have to realize that this is sluggardness. Admit it, realize it early. Okay? That's one characteristic. Another characteristic is the Bible describes, okay, in Proverbs 19 verse 24. Okay, turn to Proverbs 19 verse 24. Hey, Proverbs 19 verse 24. So the second characteristic is that he is just averse to hard work. In fact, that is the meaning of the word idle that you find in the Bible as well. Okay, a person who is idle is someone who is averse to hard work. And in Proverbs 19 verse 24, the Bible says that a slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. And so, he hides his hand in his bosom and he's so lazy that he doesn't even want to bring food to put in his mouth. He doesn't want to bring it to his mouth. He's hungry, but he's too lazy to eat. Have you ever seen or do you know of people who are too lazy to eat? And that's very, very sad, right? I mean, really eating is a blessing that God has given to us, even appetite. But there are people who are so too lazy to eat. I had one friend before that was I was very puzzled. Okay, this person is not really lazy, but somehow this person did not like eating, you know. First person I have ever met in my 30 years of living of life, okay, that the person does not like eating. That, do you all like, anyone here does not like eating? Okay, does not like food. Okay. So you are normal. Okay? So, but the person I met, unless you secretly, you know, but the person does not like, but then the person does not like eating, not because so much the person is lazy, okay, but the person just does not like the process of eating. This person has a strange idea that food is just to fill our body and to eat, right? To like spend 1 hour. So, do you know the difference between eating and dining? Okay, eating means you just put food in your mouth. Dining means you enjoy the whole experience. You dim the lights. Okay, you arrange the table, right? Then you make sure the plates very nicely. That's dining. So you do not want to just eat. You want to dine. Okay, you slowly savor the whole experience. And sometimes people, it's true lah, eating can be a waste of time because they can dine for like 1 hour, 2 hours. Yeah, but I mean, I believe that it's not a waste of time if you are in good company and then you can talk, you can share things. So dining is not a bad thing. But there are some people, they say, this person told me, I don't like eating. I wish, then this person said, I wish I can just open my stomach, put the food in and close my stomach. Okay, like 1 minute like that. But there may be some people who enjoy eating. So this person does not really like eating for a strange reason. Okay, but maybe some of you like eating, but you're too lazy to eat. This one I think is more common. They are very hungry. Okay, and I've heard this like from some friends before. They say, I'm very hungry. Oh, okay, that you can go hawker center, but I'm too lazy to go down to the hawker center. Oh, okay, so then how? Then you just cook something at home. I'm very hungry, but I'm also too lazy to cook. Instant noodles or something also. But now, you know, the problem is what? We have Grab food, right? So that is not really helping. So I'm so hungry, but I'm very lazy to do anything. So just Grab food. And so in that way, that feeds to our laziness. But even then, after the Grab food arrives, you still must take the food. Okay, I don't know, this is like a burger. Okay, it's a very big burger. Okay, you still have to take the food and you still have to put in your mouth. I hope none of you are too lazy to even take the food to put in your mouth. Okay. Some may be even too lazy to open the app to go and find through the food. Are you too lazy to even eat? That's what the Bible says. They are so averse to even a little bit of hard work. Now, this may be with regard to food that the Bible uses the description here. They are so lazy to put, that they put their hands in their bosom. They just don't want to do any work. But when you think about this, it can apply to many other situations where we are too lazy to do certain things. I'm too lazy to do this, or I'm too lazy to do that. Do you know that work is not a result of sin? Work existed before the fall of man. Hey, because Adam tilled the ground even before the fall. He tended to the trees, hey, even before the fall. The only difference was that the Bible promised, and the Bible, before the fall, it was not with the sweat of his brow. That means work was very pleasant. Work was very enjoyable. That means, you know, when Adam, he watered the plants, oh, then it will bear forth fruits already. Okay? There are no pests. There are no trees which will not bear forth fruits. And then these fruits will be very sweet, very fragrant. Okay? So work existed even before the fall. Work was not the result of the fall. And that's why we cannot not enjoy the work that God wants us to do. But one of the manifestations of sluggishness is they just don't like to work, don't like to do anything, averse to hard work. Another example or another manifestation of sluggishness is this person would be filled with excuses. Now it's interesting, you turn to Proverbs 26. Okay, in Proverbs 26, there are a few verses that describe the different aspect of this sluggishness. You look at Proverbs 26. You look at verse 13, so the excuses here. The slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way, a lion is in the streets. Okay? Now, earlier on, we talked about how the slothful is averse to hard work. That's also found in verse 14 and verse 15 of Proverbs 26. Right? So, he hides his hand in his bosom, and it grieveth to bring it again to his mouth. Right? It grieveth means he's very sorrowful to just bring his hand to his mouth. Okay? And then, in verse 14 also, is another expression of his aversion to hard work. As the door turneth on his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. Okay, so this is really like a picture. Just like the door on the hinge. Now, the door will not move. The door moves. The door moves a lot. But the door does not go anywhere. The door does not progress. And so, it's just like a slothful person. He may be on his bed, rolling about. And this may also be a picture, illustration of how he may seem to be doing a lot of things, a lot of activity, but actually he does nothing. And he may look busy, but actually he does nothing. Then maybe when you all grow older in the army, you all would know what it means, okay, to look busy but actually do nothing. Because if you are not busy, right, then people will arrow you to do things. So you want to look busy. And maybe sometimes in the workplace also, they look busy, but they are actually doing nothing. And so they're like, wow, very busy. They accomplish, oh, I'm very busy, very busy, very busy. But actually you look at the end of the day, what have you done? Nothing. Okay, so this is one of the manifestations also. But now I want to look at the excuses. Okay, the slothful, he is full of excuses. He says, there is a lion in the way, a lion in the streets. So, I mean, by the way, it's may be true that in some of these countries in the past, there may be lions occasionally. But this is his imagination. He will just imagine and he'll just come up with excuses. I don't want to do this because there may be lions in the street. Okay, time to exercise. But it looks like it's going to rain. Not yet rain, but looks like it's going to rain. Okay. Then if it's not raining, wow, the sun is like shining brightly, too hot lah. Okay, too hot. Later I get skin cancer, you know, and things like that. But then not good to put sunblock also, because you put sunblock, it blocks your pores. Okay? And then sunblock also may be harmful for my skin. So, you know, my conclusion is, never mind, I'll just stay home. Okay? Things like that. These are excuses that people come up with. So what is your excuse? You know, the holidays are ending already, right? Okay, so how have you been using your holiday? I'm not sure what is your discussion later on. Okay, maybe one of the things you all should discuss is, so, what do you set out to do at the beginning of your holidays? Okay, and then at the end of your holidays, have you accomplished it? Have you fulfilled it? And if you have not, why? What is your reason? What is your excuse? Then maybe you come up, oh, I got this, I got that. But you have to ask yourself, honestly, are these really valid reasons for you not accomplishing and fulfilling what you have set out to do in the beginning, in the very first place? No, the excuses that some make. You know, sometimes people are also very good at making excuses for being late. So I noticed one of the habits of the younger people today, and which you must learn more and more, is carelessness with regard to times and appointments, you know, a habit, the habit of being late. Somehow there are those who are, you know, the older generation. They seem more sensitive to time, to an appointment. Okay, so let's say we make an appointment. Let's go and eat prata. I don't know why prata. Okay, it's just in my mind. Okay, let's go and eat prata at this time, 8 a.m. Okay, for breakfast. And then they will make a point. Okay, I try to be there at least 10 minutes earlier or so. Okay, so that in case, you know, the train delay or something, I will still be there on time. And, but sometimes there are really unforeseen circumstances, right? Then that's understandable. So they make it a point to be late. But somehow those who are younger, they don't have this sense of time. Right? They are their time is like rubber time, or some would call African time. Okay, the reason why you call African time is because in Africa everybody is very late. Okay, when I was in Africa, they are all very late. But they have an excuse. Okay, they don't have watches. Okay, some of them. But now it's no more an excuse anymore because they have smartphones. So very funny, they don't have watches but they have smartphones. Okay, so it's still not an excuse because I know some of the church members, they are all often late. But also it's different because they walk from place to place. You know, when they come to church, some of them will walk like an hour. And then they come to church. And then some of our students, they were explaining to us, you know, why they are sometimes late for church service. They say that in the villages, in the rural area, in the past, they don't have watches or even smartphones. So they will just look at the sunrise. Oh, when the sunrise, okay, now it's time to go to church. Then they'll start and begin their journey to church. But I say that maybe that is 50, 60, 70 years ago, but not today. Okay, because today now you have smartphones. You don't have watches, but you have smartphones. So you cannot just say, oh, look at the sunrise. Then, you know, time to go out to church. So the Africans can be really late for things. Now, I've ever attended a wedding, just to share with you, where the wedding was supposed to be 10 a.m. Okay, do you know what time the wedding started? Okay, you just try to guess. Any one of you. What time do you think the wedding started? Anyone? Joel?
2 p.m.
2 p.m. Okay, quite close. More worse than what it actually happened, it was 1 p.m. Okay, so the wedding was 10 a.m. We were there already. So there were some of us, we were like the missionaries. We went there earlier. Then we went to the church. Then we saw, why there's nobody? And then somebody was sweeping the sanctuary at like 10 a.m. You know, the invitation was 10 a.m. Then I said, okay, maybe they will come soon. So we waited there, 10:30. How come so nobody was there still also? Then 11, some people started to stream in. Then the bride and groom only came at 1 p.m. Okay, that's like, what? How can this be? You know, what kind of wedding is this? So, but that's why they say African time. Now, I hope you all won't be like that, okay? But the younger generation, they sometimes also have a problem with time. Okay, keeping time. And then what are the excuses that they come up with? You know, when they are coming out, they always say, I'm on the way. I'm on the way. You know, at the door, the gate of your house is also still on the way, right? When you go down, the lift is also on the way, right? And so I'm on the way. Where are you? You're half an hour late. I'm still on the way. But you're actually at the lift lobby. I'm not on the way. So this is the problem with us. Now, all this, then what is your excuses for being late? Now, sometimes there may be valid, genuine reasons. But if always are able to find an excuse for being late, it is like just this man, a manifestation of the laziness. There is a lion in the street. An excuse. Are you filled with excuses in being late? There is another manifestation of idleness. And you know how idleness is further manifested? Idleness, okay, laziness, slothfulness, is often manifested also in the speech, in the words. Now, why do I say that? Because if you turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13, very interesting. The Bible says that idleness is often manifested also in idle talk. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13, the Bible says, "We though they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not." Okay, so they are idle. Now, here the word idle describes doing nothing. Okay, it describes a person who is just doing nothing, and he has the aversion to hard work. And this idle person, one thing he's not idle is in his speech. Okay, but the Bible still calls it idle, because it's very useless, very empty kind of talk in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13. And then they are very idle, where they have nothing to do, so they go from house to house as busybodies, just talking about things, talking about people, talking about things which they ought not. That's how idleness also manifests itself, right? It's sometimes manifested in the idle talk that people engage in. In other words, one thing you see about idleness is not just inactivity. A person may be doing a lot of things. A person may be seeming to be busy. but he still can be regarded as idle, where it's unprofitable for him. Now, what are the results of idleness or sluggardness? And that's the second thing we want to see. And so what are the results, the fruits of this sluggardness? We need to first realize that it displeases God. Okay, this is what you see in Matthew chapter 25. Okay, if you look at Matthew chapter 25 in the parables of the talents, in verse 26. Okay, Matthew chapter 25 verse 26, the Lord said, His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchanges, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Now, one thing we need to remember about all kinds of sin, whether it be the sin of idleness or whether it be the other sins where you break the Ten Commandments, is that all these things, first and foremost, is an offense against God. And so even the sin of slothfulness, the sin of laziness, you need to realize first and foremost that it is displeasing to God. The Lord despises it. Okay, before we even talk about the consequences and the impact of idleness, which there are many because the Bible shows us, we need to first realize that in God's eyes, it is a sin that is hateful. Because idleness is thievery. You are robbing time. Right? You are stealing time. You are stealing from yourself. You are stealing from God. You are stealing from others. I mean, in a way, do you realize that, using the example of being late again? See, when you are late, don't you realize you are stealing from another person's time? Because let's say you have an appointment to meet at 8 o'clock, and then you come at 8:45. What you have done is the person has just waited for you, you know, for 45 minutes. You have stolen his time. You know, last time when I was teaching the choir, okay, in Africa, I was in charge of the students' choir. You know, I made them do a particular practice that suddenly all of them started to come on time. And I don't understand, you know, why they put more value to money than to time. Okay, but the thing, what I did was simply this. Because I said that, you know, if you are late, you are stealing the time of others. So I said that, okay, for those who are late for your practice, you would give 1 shilling. Okay, 1 shilling is very little. It's like 10 cents. Okay, to everyone who is on time for every minute that you are late. Okay, so that means if you come in at, let's say the choir practice is like 10 a.m., for example. If you come in at 10:01, then if there are 5 people who are on time, you have to give 1 shilling each to all those who are on time. So you give 50 cents, right? 10 cents, 10 cents, 10 cents, 10 cents. Then you are 2 minutes late. You give 20 cents, 20 cents, 20 cents, 20 cents. Okay, 3 minutes late, then you give 30 cents, 30 cents. Then I make them, I say, you, if those who are late, you will do that. Okay, then of course, those who are early, if you come on time, you will get a lot of shillings from those who come late, right? But after implementing that, none of them came late. Okay? So, I mean, there are some who came late with valid reasons. Because before our choir practice, they have evangelism. So some of them, they go out for evangelism, then they delay, then they come back late. Then that is valid reason. So if they came late for valid reason, then excuse. But if you come late because I just come back, you know, I went to my dorm, I took my time to put on my socks or something like that, I don't know, then you come late, then now you have to implement this. But you know, after implementing that, they didn't came late. So in other words, it was not the problem of, you know, something that they have to do or something like that. It's the problem of their attitude. And they put more value to money than to the time. But do you realize that when you are lazy, slothful, sluggard, you're stealing. You're stealing from God. You're stealing from others. You're stealing also from yourself in the time that you have wasted. Now, I wish that y'all will have this kind of appreciation for time. In fact, for myself, I wish that I had the same kind of appreciation for time when I was younger as I do now. Hey, you know, some people have put it this way. You know, when you are younger, you would spend time to save money. Okay? When you're older, you actually spend money to save time. Somehow, you when you grow older, you actually feel that, wow, time is very short. Time is very, you know, little. So, like, I walk very fast. You know, some people walk quite fast. Like me, I also walk a bit faster. You know, when I'm in the MRT, I walk fast and things like that. So sometimes people ask me, why you walk so fast? Why are you rushing? I don't know. I'm not rushing to anywhere, but I just feel like, you know, I cannot waste time. That's me. But when I was younger, you know, I feel like, oh, I got all the time in the world. So sometimes now when I look back, I wish that I had the same appreciation for time as I do now when I'm older. Because now there are so many things that you want to do, but you just don't have the time for it. In the past, you have more time to do the things that you actually want to do. Actually, really appreciate this, that, you know, as a student, you do have a lot of time on your hands. Okay? You have time to have activities, you have time to learn, you have time to study God's word, you have time to interact and fellowship with people. You have a lot of time for all these things. As you grow older with more responsibilities, you have lesser time. And I wish that I had the same appreciation for time. Because I think that, you know, if I use time the same way I use it now when I was younger, well, maybe I'll be very good in piano already. And like, you know, I've practiced my piano very hard. I learned piano, okay, by the way, but I did not finish. Okay, I learned, then I'll practice, wow, well, I'll practice. Then maybe I also would like have read so many books already. You know, actually, it doesn't take long to read a book, right? You estimate you can just take about 2 weeks to read one book now. Okay? Because you calculate, right, like a 200 pages, a 200 page book. Okay, one page is about 2 minutes. So 200 pages would be about 400 minutes. Actually, that's not very long. In the span of a week, if you just take about 1 hour or half an hour every day, you can actually finish one book. See, but I didn't realize this last time. So last time, I don't know, when I read one book, I like 6 months to read one book. Okay, something like that, except the textbooks. Then after things going FEBC, then I realized, hey, can read more and more and more. And I wish that when I was younger, I have read more, because now there are many other books I want to read, but I don't have the time, you know, to read these things that I want to read. So sometimes I just have to squeeze in the time, okay, to read all this. But realize, if you don't use your time, you know you're stealing from yourself, you're stealing from God, and it's going to impact your life. You look at Proverbs 24. Okay, Proverbs 24. This was the result of someone who has wasted his time. Proverbs 24, verse 30. Now, this must wake you out of idleness. This must really show you the folly, the foolishness of procrastination. Don't procrastinate anymore, because in verse 30, here, hey, the wise, he went by the field of the slothful. So I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. So he says that the slothful is a man that's void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles and covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. That means he thought upon it very carefully. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travelleth, and thy want as an armed man. The want of the traveller. Here the traveller describes a vagabond, a person who has no home. Okay, in our local language, like a hobo. Okay, so why would he be a traveller? Because he has no home, he did not work hard. So now he is someone who is wandering here and there without any home. And then thy want as an armed man. Okay, the armed man describes a robber. Okay, the one here describes the desire. So the robber has a lot of desire, and he has to stoop to criminal ways in order to fulfill these desires. So the picture over here is, of course, there are some homeless people, you know, for very sad reasons, okay, how they became homeless. But this is describing homeless because of his own undoing. And very interesting, do you notice the Bible in verse 33 says, it's just a little sleep, a little slumber, a little of folding of hands to sleep. And then, when you pass by his house, his vineyard is all overgrown with thorns and nettles that covered the face thereof. Do you notice the contrast? It's just a little bit. But then the impact of it is the whole house, the field, is now in ruins. Actually, if you think about it, thorns and thistles, they do not just suddenly grow overnight. Like, you know, just one morning, suddenly, wow, the whole garden filled with weeds. Right? It actually grows slowly. But this man could have trimmed and gotten rid of all these weeds bit by bit. But now it's overgrown. All because of a little sleep, a little slumber. I mean, if he had just daily maybe trim the garden, okay, just pluck out the weeds, he wouldn't be in this situation now. And that's the problem and the folly of sluggishness and also procrastination. You live a little bit, you live a little bit, you live a little bit. And at the end, now your whole garden is filled with weeds. Sometimes you have to experience the consequences of it. You know, in FEBC, I'm not sure whether some of you are aware that there's this online course thing. Okay, in FEBC, they offer like online classes, online courses. And the online courses requires a bit of discipline. The reason is because there is a weekly lecture. And every week after you listen to the lecture, so the lecture is online. Okay, you just have to listen on your own. And after listening, you have to answer the questions online weekly. So there are some students, I do not know whether they think they are very clever or what. They are supposed to do it every week, you know, weekly, diligently. They don't. They leave everything until the last week. So imagine 14 weeks of lectures. Okay, 14 weeks, and each lecture is 2 hours. So that's 28 hours. They think they can do it or something. They just squeeze everything to the last week. And then in 1 week, they try to listen to all the lectures and then they try to answer all the questions. Do you think that that can be done? Yeah. Boom. Right? She said, oh yeah, wow, explode. And of course, that's not the only thing they have to do, because usually the last week will be exam week. Right? So the last 2 weeks will be exam week in FEBC. So if you squeeze to the end, how are you going to study for exams and all these kind of things? But that's what some of these students, they do. And then, you know, I hear some of them later complaining, wow, I got so much to do, I cannot finish, this and that. Sometimes I don't feel any sympathy, because they could have done it regularly. I mean, imagine if you had just done it bit by bit. 1 week, 2 hours. Second week, 2 hours. It's manageable, because everyone else can do it. But now you squeeze everything to the last week to cram everything in, then you complain. You see the results of it, you see the impact of it, the consequences of it. Whose fault is it? That is the folly, the foolishness of a little sleep, a little slumber. Now that's the danger of sluggishness, slothfulness. Oftentimes you don't see the consequences and the impact of it immediately. But then suddenly one day, it will explode. And then you see the consequences of all these actions. That's what the Bible says here. Thy poverty shall come as a man that traveleth. Now, what is the remedy of it? Yeah, I know our time is up. But just very quickly, in Proverbs 6, okay, verse 6, there, what is the remedy to sluggardness? The Bible says, go to the end, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Learn from the end. That's what the Bible says. Okay, there are just three things I'll just describe here very quickly. Okay, the end here, first thing that Bible emphasized in verse 7 is that there's no guide, no overseer, or no ruler. That means the end was able to labor independently without anyone supervising them. This is where we need to learn this principle of independent labor, independent diligence. That even if no one is looking, no one is seeing what you do, you are still hardworking, you're still diligent. Of course, I believe that this takes time to learn. Okay, this takes time to cultivate. Because as human as we are, our natural tendency is to be lazy. So sometimes we do need people to watch over us in order to guide us, to train us. But we have to learn. You know, where even if there are no guide or overseer, no one watching over us, we will still be diligent. You know, this phase of your life where you are guided will one day end. Okay, where you have your teachers who will give you homework, weekly homework, and then they will remind you, and then maybe they, do they still ask your parents to sign and things like that? Or is that in primary school? Or primary school also don't. Like, we are supposed to do our homework already, then must parents see, then parents sign, then bring to school, or things like that. Okay, so maybe secondary school don't need anymore, okay, because you are supposed to be a bit more grown up. Okay, but one day this would be over. Now, when you all go to tertiary institutions, poly or universities, they won't check you until like that. It's now up to you to manage your time, up to you to be disciplined. And then when you all become adults, okay, when you now, in time, God willing, you all have your own families. Do you know no one is going to check, have you done this? Have you done that? Have you ironed the clothes? Have you washed the clothes? Have you paid the bills? Have you taken care of these things in your homes? No one is going to check you, right? Because who? The government will not come and say, have you ironed the clothes? And no one, right? It's just your own, how you manage it already. So this is why even from now, you must learn to be independent. Even if no one is looking, no one is watching, you'll still be faithful, you'll still be diligent because you know God is watching. Then another thing that you can learn here is that the Bible says in verse 8, they provideth her meat in her summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. Here, there is what we can say a purposeful foresight. The ant, they have this foresight. Now, it's apparently very interesting when I was studying about this. They say that in Palestine, sometimes you can see the entrails. Okay, the entrails on the ground. And in from the fields, okay, you can see the entrails. And what the ants would do is they would gather the food in the summer so that during the winter, when there are no more farming, the ant would still have food. Now, God has given this wisdom even to the creatures. How about us? Do we have this kind of purposeful foresight? Hey, where we can have a foresight towards the things of the future, where we prepare as God enables us, as God gives to us. Now you have time. Are you purposeful in the use of it? No, use this holiday. Practice. If some of you are learning musical instruments, practice these things so that in the future you can serve the Lord. Be purposeful. You know, it's going to take years, like 1 year, 2 years, 3 years to learn this well. But one day you can serve the Lord. No, don't regret your foolish use of time. There's a purposeful foresight. And the reason why it's purposeful also is because there must be a purpose to it. Do you know why you are using your time? See, for the world, they are very hardworking. They're very diligent. But for the things of the world, for you, why are you hardworking? What is your purpose? Is to occupy till the Lord comes. It's for the Lord. Okay? That's the second thing that we see here. Purposeful foresight. And then the third thing, the remedy against laziness, slothfulness, is to be sober, to be awake. Right, wake up. Wake up out of your sleep. Wake up out of your laziness. Be sober. Related. Okay? It's not exactly the passage that we are looking at, but you just turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, even as a conclusion. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. Now, over here, you notice Apostle Peter says, okay, in verse 5, now after we have escaped corruption to the world, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, you add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. And then he says, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word barren here is the word for idol. Okay, so it's the same word for idol that you find in other passages in the Bible. That's the same word for barren over here. And it's very interesting because this word barren is the same word used in Titus chapter 1 verse 12 to describe slow bellies. Okay, slow bellies. That means they are idle bellies. Okay, because they are very, very lazy. And one way to overcome this is to wake up. Wake up and wake up to the things of God. Now that's why Apostle Peter says, add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge. And he says, giving all diligence. So one way to overcome slothfulness, laziness, is you wake up. You wake up to the things of God now. Awake from your sleep. Awake from your laziness. And wake up to the things of God. Wake up and realize who you are in relation to your Master. Christians, we must occupy till the Lord comes. This is the diligence that the Lord expects of us. Do you realize that idleness and slothfulness is very, very deadly and dangerous? So may the Lord help you. Okay? Even though your holidays may be ending soon, I hope that this is a principle that will remain with you even as you continue on from this camp onwards and through your student life. Okay? Because if you are diligent and faithful, it will put you in good stead. And let us pray. O Father in heaven, we pray that Thou will help us to see the dangers of laziness and idleness. Forgive us if we have been lazy and have been slothful and have wasted away our time. And O Lord, we pray that Thou will now help us to wake up, to even consider our own ways, and if we have any area where we have failed or are lacking, we pray Thou will now help us to be faithful and diligent serving Thee. Help us, O Lord, we pray, for we ask and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Guys, group discussion will start at 11:20 in 10 minutes.